World War I, also known as the Great War, lasted 4 years, from 1914 to 1918. The war involved many countries from around the globe, but the primary fighting occurred in Europe. To this day, to ask the question what caused World War I will lead you down rabbit holes. The impetus was the assassination of the Archduke Ferdinand of Austria-Hungary, which you may have learned in high school history. But the dominoes that fell next, well, those are more complex. Alliances and treaties were enacted or invoked. The Allies and the Central Powers aligned with one another into two main hostile forces, and the end result was a geopolitical firestorm that left the modern world divided like never before, and Europe ravaged. And if you were a British citizen, 1 week to the day after finding out about the assassination of the Archduke, you found yourself in the middle of a world war, fought with weapons and tactics far different than the world had ever seen before. 8.7 million British men found themselves at the front lines of what would be known as trench warfare. New and devastating technology was unleashed upon them: machine guns, tanks, airplanes, and chemical weapons, especially the terrifying mustard gas. Those resulted in high casualty rates. And death was often grisly. Mustard gas, in particular, was a horrible way to die. And due to its delayed onset of symptoms, soldiers often didn't know they had been exposed until it was too late. The daily mental strain upon the men at the front was immense. 886,000 military personnel from the United Kingdom and the British Empire alone would die over the next 51 months, a little more than 10% of the entire enlisted force. So one can imagine how hard it could be to keep your resolve up as a British soldier. You're tired. You're filthy. You haven't seen the outside of a trench in ages. Your feet hurt. And every day you face uncertainty, death, dismemberment, and loss upon muddy fields that make it hard to remember that a place like home even existed anymore. So it can be no surprise that every soldier's favorite soldier was the postman. I'm Scott Beyer, and this is the Love Better podcast, where we explore the truths and the lies about love, and more importantly, how to turn love into a skill, something we can get better at and hone along the way. This episode is the second installment in a 10-part series on learning to love with all our heart, part of a broader goal this year to study the greatest commandments, to love the Lord and our neighbor with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In every account of the Gospels, the command to love always begins with the heart. The heart is the thing capable of overriding our mind. When our heart, the source of our deepest emotions, feels strongly, our intellect, well, it takes a back seat. If you've ever panicked at the sight of a snake or spider, you know the impact of heart over mind. The power of the heart extends beyond mental faculties. The heart can weaken the knees with the stirrings of romance, or blind us to honest critique when we hear it from a distasteful source. The heart is the part of you from which all vital action stems. It's the source of your resolve, your fears, your deepest insecurities, and your highest exaltations. The heart is the headwaters from which all our actions and words flow. Which is why, in the middle of the First World War, as machine guns chattered, mustard gas wafted across the battlefields, bombs dropped from on high, and soldiers struggled for breath, food, and safety, the British post kept being delivered. Every week, 12 million letters were delivered by the British Army Postal Service and the Royal Navy Postal Service. Over the course of the war, tens of millions of letters and parcels were delivered to and from the front lines. And here's why. Those soldiers weren't fighting for the honor of the Archduke Ferdinand. They weren't protecting the Allies against the Central Powers, or upholding peace treaties and alliances made by politicians. Those soldiers were fighting for their families, their friends, their mothers, their fathers, and their siblings, and maybe, just maybe, that special someone that had said she would be waiting for them to come home. The letters flowed both directions and eventually forever changed English literature. J.R.R. Tolkien wrote letters to his children, which included elements that eventually would be interwoven into his books The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings trilogy. Or perhaps even more touching is the correspondence between A.A. Milne and his son. A.A. Milne eventually would write the beloved Winnie the Pooh series. His son, Christopher Robin Milne, became the inspiration for the Christopher Robin, the dear friend of Pooh Bear, beloved by readers of all ages. The mission wasn't to avenge the Archduke. For those soldiers, the mission was the people back home. And the British, like all successful military powers before and since, knew it. So despite the dangers and the cost, the military postal service kept the mail flowing because it was a lifeline during the experiences of war. Here is the truth about loving from the heart. The heart needs to know what it is fighting for. The heart needs to know the mission. Motivation is limited. I can only give you so many pep talks from the trenches before you give up. But love is limitless. In the most romantic book in all the Bible, Solomon's Song about two lovers says, "Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is strong as death, its ardor as unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire, like a mighty flame." Love galvanizes us. When we find something to set as a seal upon our hearts, we can face trials and suffering and disappointment and even death. When love is from the heart, we can endure and persevere and try again, even when we fail. Not because we're motivated by some quote we read on the internet, not because we're inspired by a coach's pep talk, but because the thing we love requires it. Loving from the heart requires us to find our mission. There is an interesting negative example that highlights the power of love's mission and the importance of finding a good mission in 1 Kings chapter 21. The king of Israel at that time was a man named Ahab. Ahab was petty, selfish, completely self-absorbed. One of the worst kings that the nation of Israel ever had, which is really saying something since they had a lot of really bad kings. Yet Ahab was a king. He had all the things kings typically have. He had wealth, he had palaces, he had servants, and he had power. Ahab could do pretty much whatever he wanted. So one day, he looked out his window, saw the vineyard next door to his palace, and decided he would really like to buy it and expand his palace grounds. He had plans to remodel that vineyard into a vegetable garden. So he offered the owner of the land, Naboth, a deal he didn't think he could refuse. Except Naboth did refuse it. The vineyard, turns out, was a family land that went back generations. Naboth wasn't interested in selling it at any price. Ahab's reaction is recorded in 1 Kings 21, verse 4. So Ahab came into his house sullen and vexed because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers." And he lay down on his bed and turned away his face, and he ate no food. Remember the part where Ahab is a king with all the money, power, and palaces one could ever hope for? It is completely illogical for a king to be this upset about one silly little piece of land. But Ahab had set his heart on owning it. What our heart loves becomes our mission, and in his case, Mission Impossible meant a complete meltdown. Solomon called it setting a seal upon your heart. And that matches the wartime mail connection to love's power too. What do you do when you send someone you love a letter? You write words from the heart, and then you seal it. The letter becomes a private message sealed from one love to another. Our heart's love isn't necessarily known to everyone else. It's the thing you cherish and treasure in your heart. It is the thing you choose to store up and remind yourself of. Let me give you some positive and negative examples of the things that store up and seal in people's hearts. Mary, the mother of Jesus, saw the events surrounding his childhood, and she treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. Daniel purposed in his heart not to do things that would defile him while he lived in Babylon. The culture had a lot of wickedness, but Daniel loved God, and that love motivated him to stay pure. Solomon, on the other hand, loved his many wives, and they turned his heart away from God and towards the idols that they loved. Why would such a wise man as Solomon do that? Well, it simply says, he clung to those wives in love. The Apostle Paul said that the reason he wrote the 1 Corinthian letter was out of much affliction and anguish of heart and his abundant love for them. 1 and 2 Corinthians are some of the most important letters in history, and they were only written because Paul loved the people from his heart. Or if you've ever wondered, why can people be so cruel or mean or neglectful of others? How can we live in a world with so much plenty, and yet so many go hungry and without? The answer is 1 John 3, verse 17. If you see your brother in need and you have the ability to help but don't, it is because you closed your heart against him. God and people should be seals upon our hearts, like love letters, tightly held and remembered for all time so we never forget what our mission and purpose is. But sometimes we do the opposite. We seal God and our neighbor out of our heart. We stop reading the mail. What would happen if a soldier stopped getting correspondence during the war? His morale would drop, his effort would falter, and his likelihood of death would increase. This was so true that communities made it a point to make sure that soldiers got mail. He would be in greater danger and less useful for the cause without it. Do not seal your heart against others. It will ruin you. You need a why, something worth fighting for, a mission, a cause, and anything other than God and people is an inferior mission. Money, power, fame, entertainment, success, notoriety, leisure, selfish ambition, all of these are simply poor missions. They will seal your doom, not your success. The other thing that we learn from the great mail delivery of World War I is that the mail has to keep flowing. One letter isn't enough. It requires a pipeline of regular correspondence to keep morale up and hearts full of courage. That means that you need to read scripture and pray all the time. 1 Thessalonians tells us it is best if we pray without ceasing. Prayer sends your letters upstream to him. And make sure you have regular correspondence with people, too. Do not isolate or hole up. Build a network of strong people in your life, friends, mentors, and eventually apprentices, too, people that you can love and be loved by, people that remind you of what you're working for. If you have a desk at work, make sure it has a picture of your family on it. They're the mission. You work at a company, but you work for them. Regularly set these seals upon your heart because when you are in the trenches, you need all the mail you can get. And don't make Ahab's mistake. Find something worthy of your heart's love. You can do better than the love of this world. Learn to love better. Learn to set the right seals upon your heart. Find your heart's mission. If you've listened this far, thank you. And hopefully we've done something to help make your life a little bit better. Would you mind doing us a favor and helping us by subscribing to the podcast through your favorite platform, by sharing with others, and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts? You help us reach more people. Also, If you want more information about the work I'm doing at Eastland, visit us at eastlandchristians.org or my personal Bible site, biblegrad.com, where you can sign up for daily Bible devotionals called Bible Bites and receive them in your email every morning. Take online Bible classes or find videos that will help you study through the Bible throughout the year. And until next time, remember, you are loved. So go love better.